B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This story in the Globe today from Alex Speer, which I think gives it some more credibility. Headline, amid the Red Sox speculation, there's an intriguing name, Theo Epstein. That's from Alex Speer today, who is close to ownership, by the way.
I actually think I hate that song worse than that other rejoin we killed. I hate that song worse now. Sorry, go ahead, Alex Speer.
Alex Speer writes today, there is one star caliber executive who, above all, continues to maintain intrigue as the subject of speculation. Cubs president of baseball operations, Theo Epstein. The 45-year-old Epstein, who remains under contract with the Cubs through 2021, represents an obvious potential target for the Red Sox, given both his record of success and his upbringing in and near Fenway Park. It's also fair to wonder whether either or both sides might be open to exploring the possibility, or if the Cubs would permit such a conversation.
Well, he's under contract till 2021.
He's got two more years to go.
Well, why don't the Cubs just say he's under contract? He's not going anywhere.
Well, I got a question. Why wouldn't the Cubs have said that by now, and why wouldn't Theo have said that by now?
Right.
Why wouldn't Theo?
Well, you always want another
suitor. Here's a more relevant question. Why would Theo have not shot down any of this speculation by now?
Maybe he wants to come back.
Maybe he does.
That'd be great.
Maybe there's something to this.
Because really, this is the type of splash you're going to have to make, because you're not signing any big free agents. You're going to have salary dumps. You need to add players and dump salaries, so you're not bringing in superstars. This would be your big splash. This would get people juiced and humming again.
Alex Speer says, multiple industry sources are convinced the Red Sox will want to see if they have a chance of reeling in some of the biggest fish in the executive seas, given that the team is forever in win-now mode. The idea of finding an executive with a known track record is significant. Epstein understands the particulars of working for the Red Sox better than anyone. He says, for now, there's little more than ink blots to interpret, but it's worth revisiting both Epstein's history with the Sox and his departures from them to gain some insight into the factors that could be at work. He then covers the relationships. He covers his departure, talking about how he very much believes in Bill Walsh's 10 years. You got to get a change after 10 years. You can't stay in the same place for more than 10 years.
Stagnant.
By the way,
stagnant.
He's now been in Chicago for 8. He says maybe Theo's outlook could be different now, different life and career stage. Does he eye a broader range of interests and responsibilities? But he also points out in this story today in the Globe that when he left and when he wrote in his op-ed in the Globe, when he did leave, that John Henry basically offered him any job he wanted in Fenway Sports Group, or basically allowed him to mold whatever position he may like within the company, if you will, in order to get him to stay. Which, even if things didn't end well between the two and things were sort of salty when he did leave at that time, 8 years ago, that should tell you how current Red Sox ownership, which has gone unchanged, feels about Theo and would feel about trying to get him back here.
Plus, you've been here, you know the area, you know the market. In essence, it is home. You won here. That's the first place you won. You won elsewhere. And then to bring it home again, or even to go somewhere else, I mean, not that he cares about it. You got to care about legacy at some point. Could you imagine if he would go to another place, build it, and be able to win?
Here's what he said. John and Tom were kind enough at some point late in the summer, back in 2011, to tell me they wanted me to stay with the Red Sox, to stay with Fenway Sports Group in any capacity I could imagine. I could tailor my role or do what I wanted. That's what he said at his introductory news conference in Chicago when he took over with the Cubs. It meant a lot to me. I was really appreciative.
See, that stuff you don't forget.
But I just couldn't envision a role at the Red Sox that would have satisfied the principles that Bill Walsh espoused that were resonating with me so much.
Wow.
And so I wonder how much...
Does that hurt you from going back?
You know, how much those principles of Bill Walsh were really tugging at him?
Right.
Or how much things had just soured in Boston and he didn't want to go to Chicago and at the introductory press conference be saying, I wanted out of Boston because things had really gone south and things had really started to suck. And the team sucked and I'm tired of Larry Lucchino and I just needed a change. Was it that? Which nobody would blame him for, or should you blame him for? Would you blame him for that?
No.
Hey, I dealt with Larry Lucchino. We had a complicated relationship. It wasn't easy working with him. I'd had enough of that. And this seemed like a good place for me to take a break from everything Red Sox for a bit, because that's a grind. Given that he had worked for the Red Sox in his hometown at a time when the Red Sox really mattered and were really front and center. And it felt like he was operating in a pressure cooker at all times, you know, feeding the monster. What a laugh that is now. I mean, what? How things have changed in Boston since. It's not the same anymore.
No.
It's just not. Operating as the, you know, guy who runs the Red Sox now is not the same as it once was. So things have changed in this town. He's older, has more perspective, and maybe John Henry has got that same offer on the table.
Maybe he wants to rekindle that.
Tailor your job however the hell you want.
But you just wonder, too, with Theo B. You know, okay, I've there, done it. I just don't want to go back there, and then all of a sudden something happened and be stagnant again based on what payroll is and how bad our farm system is and how bad it looks.
Oh, have you seen the farm system in Chicago?
No.
Oh, because they're going to do the same thing there.
Yeah.
Because they need to go through a bit of a rebuild.
Cleansing.
And a new process there. Oh. And it appears that Joe Maddon is going to get fired there. And
Madden,
they're going to go through sort of a change. There's going to be some changing things happening there. So things are not great in Chicago right now either.
Mm.
Which is why I think, you know, there could be reasons why he leaves there or why the Cubs might be open to a change on their end after 8 years. It says in this story, on the other hand, there are reasons the idea of Epstein coming back right now wouldn't make sense. The Cubs are amid a structural transition that runs deeper than just the manager, with a chance to reorganize their scouting and player development in ways meant to push Chicago forward in a changing era. Exactly the sort of process-based challenge that Epstein loves. See, I think the same could be said of the Red Sox. Couldn't the exact same thing be said of both teams? Mm. That there could be significant changes in structural, you know, change, meaningful change about how each team operates to get ready for the next build of their teams, that he would have significant influence of in either place. Question is, where does he want to do it? You want to do it here or you want to do it there? Want to come home?
I'm coming.
Story also references his relationship with Sam Kennedy.
Oh.
Went to high school together, grew up together.
Buddies.
Still very close. They're buddies.
Exciting.
That obviously is a different relationship than what he had when Larry Lucchino was the president.
Yeah, Larry not being here is huge.
Do you know why I am rooting for this, other than the fact that I think Theo is great?
Because I think the team needs it.
I think it goes back to that point we had yesterday about ownership wanting to get more involved. After all these years, nearly 20 years of ownership now, going on almost two decades.
Now they want to be baseball.
Now all of a sudden John Henry wants to be a baseball guy?
Nope.
I don't think that's true if Theo's here. If Theo's here, I think he can rest easy and say, all right, Theo knows what he's doing. We'll let Theo run this thing because we trust him. We trust him not to screw this thing up. Theo's our guy. Theo will take care of this. Theo we can trust. And I just think you'd have a better run organization. That's why I think that it would be better for all involved if Theo came back to Boston right now. He's the guy that I really, really think they need, because there is nobody else they're going to get that ownership is going to have that level of trust in. Nobody. Nobody like Theo. They got to get him. And why hasn't he told anybody that he's staying in Chicago? He could easily make a public statement that he's there to stay and that he's committed to the Cubs, and he hasn't done it yet. He could do it at any moment in time. It hasn't happened. And now Joe Maddon looks like he's going to get fired there. At least that's the rumor. That's the speculation. You could swap out, fire your manager, fire your baseball guy. You could start over if you're the Cubs.
Go Cubs, go.
And by the way, if you're the Cubs, I'd like for you to remember the sweetheart deal you got when you got Theo the first time. How Major League Baseball stepped in and said it was for the good of the game, and how you gave up nothing to get Theo. Yeah, remember that? Remember that whole scam? When Selig stepped in? For the good of the game.
They get Chris Carpenter?
Yeah, yeah. So don't expect anything back in return either. Okay? Red Sox didn't hang on for anything in that thing. Just remember that. That's all. That's all I'd like to say. Are the Red Sox, though, are they relevant right now? Hell no.
Oh, you got hockey and basketball starting too soon.
Have they ever been less relevant than they are now?
No. That's coming off a world championship. That's
something to talk about. Something to talk about. We got Shaughnessy tomorrow. We'll talk more about it with him, but we will actually talk a little bit about it coming up next. 617-779-0985. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Making the workday a little more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Solak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Who let the dogs out?
Baja, man, they had like three or four other big ones, didn't they already?
They sure did. Three Little Birds.
You're not doing this for one hit wonders, are you?
Yeah.
Not possible.
Kids go crazy about this, too. This Cotton Eye Joe, that stupid cowboy song. What's you the other all, one, Jim? Apache.
You All Dat was a huge hit. Move It Like This. We all know that song.
Move It Like This was a hit.
That's the Way I Get Down. That was their first big hit. Dancing in the Moonlight.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Bad job on this one.
Did they re? Did King Harvest remake Dancing in the Moonlight?
I was reading Bill Sparrow's in the Boston Herald this morning. He said the Red Sox won the World Series 11 months ago. They are now Boston's forgotten franchise. Oof. Is he wrong? Have truer words ever been written, Hardy? I mean, they are so far off the map. I think there are more people talking about the Bruins season starting.
Great.
And the Celtics camp being, you know, about to get going than they are the Red Sox.
What's bigger this week, Mookie's throw or Krejci being injured?
It's close.
And that's sad.
It's a conversation. He says, they are now Boston's forgotten franchise. The lack of October baseball can be fatal. in a city where success is measured in championship banners hanging in the rafters above Terminal C at Logan Airport.
Thank you all for coming. Hello and welcome to Boston.
The 2018 Red Sox shredded a pair of 100-win opponents in the American League playoffs, dropped a 16-spot at Yankee Stadium in the ALDS, and came within one Ian Kinsler error of sweeping the almighty Dodgers in the World Series. No team in this city has had or has ever will again win 119 games in a single season. Just 98 days after the Red Sox beat Los Angeles in the World Series, the Patriots beat Los Angeles in the Super Bowl, and in post-2004 New England sports universe, the Lombardi Trophy outweighs the Commissioner's Trophy. To quote the SEC, it just means more. And so here they are, 11 months later, and they're irrelevant. People aren't upset that they're a mess. They're just not. Well, okay. They suck. They didn't make the playoffs. $240 million payroll. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, they'll be better next year. Oh, they're, again, season ticket email apparently went out. Saw this. They're advertising for season tickets for next year. Top of the email, the image does not include Mookie Betts or JD Martinez. It includes Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, and Eduardo Rodriguez for next year for 2020 season tickets.
No sale or price either, huh? No,
I guess not. But no Mookie Betts, no JD Martinez. I mean, their futures are up in the air. We have no idea if they'll be here next year. And it's like, we'll see what happens.
And see, this is why it's important and why it's relevant, because you could argue that, well, any team that falls short of the playoffs is automatically going to go, you know, third or fourth down in the pecking order of Boston sports. The difference is when the Bruins just miss out on the playoffs, it's a big topic of conversation. When the Celtics blew it in five games against the Bucks, that was a big topic of conversation for a team that you expected so much of. You can't say really that about you can't say much about the Patriots, because they tend to make it to the AFC Championship year after year, and they're always going to be a conversation. But for a team to miss out, is it because it was a slow burn? Is it because these guys just don't invite a lot of conversation about who they are and the way they've been playing? I mean, it's any number of factors, but other teams, when they miss out, they still end up being, something that gets talked about.
Yep.
These guys, like you said, Beetle, like you read this morning, just kind of like the forgotten team in town right now. It's a huge story. They're going to finish maybe a couple of games above 500. Well short. Full 20, 25 games short of their win total from last year, and no one's talking about it.
Who do you like on the team? Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite player on the team? Keep Mookie Betts out of it. Come on. Let's go.
Who's my absolute favorite guy on the team?
You're forced to have David Price as your superstar on that team. Like, the gun to the head, that's because you feel that Betts is going to leave. There's some detachment there.
Bogaerts. Xander Bogaerts.
I mean, really? Sure. Xander Bogaerts is like, okay, like Maz's kids played.
Wait, did I get it right, Maz? Okay.
There you go.
Xander Bogaerts has the potential, and I'm not being
he's such
over the
so
top.
Quiet.
Xander Bogaerts has the potential to end up having a better career than Mookie Betts.
I agree with you.
Well, I mean, it's not that outrageous given the season that Xander Bogaerts just had. That's one of the, it's a crime that Xander Bogaerts' season that he just had is happening in such a down, terrible year for this team.
Yeah.
Because the year that this guy just had was awesome.
See,
Xander Bogaerts just had a hell of a year.
A couple years ago, like, the Patriots lose the Super Bowl, but there's still, you know, you still want to talk about him. There's still that attachment. Still have Brady, still have Gronk, still have Edelman. You blame it on the coach. There was a response. You didn't play Malcolm, whatever it was. This team just, man, when they fall flat after winning. And, like, you're trying to look at what the team is going to be constructed with and how it looks next year. Like, who knows if Betts will be here? You hope he'd be, because, like, he's the only one to me really has stardom written all over it. I know Bogaerts can have that, but he's been here for so long now, like, and he's just such a reserved and quiet kid. Like, I'm so used to the Manny Ortiz. Like, I miss Ortiz. I don't know what it is. You need some pop out of that team.
That's because you're like a pink hat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you are.
No, but I mean, that's part of it. As opposed to just, you know, 10 Xander Bogaerts. And I know that would make it.
I would take a team. I would take a 10 Xander Bogaerts right now.
That'd make a hell of a team.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd make a hell of a team.
Nine positional guys. that are Xander Bogaerts? Yep. I'd take that tomorrow. Absolutely.
Then you do.
What's wrong with Xander Bogaerts? What do you mean?
Do your popularity contest is like to what fans like, and you write in whatever.
I think
the
fans
surveys.
Love Xander Bogaerts. I think he's probably more popular. I think Xander Bogaerts is more popular than Mookie Betts.
Yeah, what's Mookie Betts' personality? Nothing.
I think Xander Bogaerts is more popular than Mookie Betts.
He won an MVP, but his personality is not any better than Bogaerts.
Yeah. And Bogaerts is at least accountable, too, at times when things are bad.
I think he's terrific all the way around. I think fans love him.
And after that, you're scratching. Like, those teams that won back in the early 2000s and even the pitchers in 07 and that, like, you still had Lester. You still had Beckett and those guys.
Great thing about Bogaerts.
You got a good mix of guys.
He's going to be like Pedroia because people think he's underpaid. He's going to have that run where the money's never going to come up with him, ever. If he does poorly, the money's never going to come up. But he makes enough money where, like, he doesn't make too much money. He's not $30 million, so the money's never going to come up. People think they got him on a good deal. Perception-wise, that helps.
See, it's almost like the money and how much Betts could potentially attain has hurt him.
Tell you what, though.
People's view.
If you want to bring back Theo, I think Theo would help you in the relevancy department.
That's what I'm saying.
That would get me back in full time, like 100% full time.
See, that's my point, because you know they're going to have to pull back from payroll. You're going to lose players. You're not going to be signing these $30 million a year pitchers anymore. And this guy would, in essence, become your superstar. He would be your pop off the field. You bring Theo here, man. Whew. Yeah.
You would trust him to make the good decisions on the field, too. Even if they have to cut payroll, I'd trust Theo to make the right moves.
There's your hot stove free agency splash right there. Theo, that's your big ticket free agent right there.
You're going to trust Eddie Romero Jr.?
You want relevancy to come back in that? Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
617-779-0985. Why don't we go back to your calls? Fran is in the truck. Fran.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Hey, I think we're doomed as far as quality of quarterback play. With each generation that comes up, I think the look at me mentality that's an epidemic among athletes is now infiltrating the quarterback ranks. And what really made me want to smash the television was Lamar Jackson. I don't know if you saw it on Sunday. They're down by 11 in Kansas City. He makes an amazing run for a touchdown. And he starts strutting around the end zone, sticking out his chest and staring down the crowd at Kansas City. Keep in mind, he's still down by 5. Needs a 2-point conversion, an onside kick, and a field goal just to tie it. But he's more focused on, hey, everyone, look at me. You know, I'm a superstar. Look what I just did. Long story short.
I thought that's what fans want. I thought fans want more excitement, guys to do more of the orchestrated things, to pound their chest a little bit instead of just running back to the sideline. I don't have a problem with what Lamar Jackson did there. I saw it. I saw the highlight.
I didn't see it.
Dude's feeling badass.
Was it that bad?
No, it wasn't that bad. Like, he stood right over the goal line and just kind of, you know, bowed out. You know, just talking junk. He's
just made a great play.
Yeah. He cut left, got against the sideline, stepped over a guy, tiptoed his way in the end zone. He's pretty good.
The best part is that the same play he gave the tight end was like, I'm open in the end zone.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just went like this. I'm going to score a touchdown right here. He gave the signal mid-run.
617-779-0985. We got one more segment of your calls on both the Red Sox and the Patriots.
Calls next.
We'll do that next. Today's takeaways coming up at 150. Mm.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Once again, bad job by Jim. Dexy's Midnight Runners, many multi-hit wonders.
Yeah.
How soon we forget their 1979 smash hit, Dance Stance. 1980, They're There, My Dear.
Oh, there you are.
And right after this song came out, Jackie Wilson said, I'm in heaven when you smile.
Yeah, all of those. Right.
Someone tried to text in and say, Hotel California by the Eagles. One hit wonders.
Who?
Hotel California.
A couple emails
Eagles.
To get to.
No,
yeah. Matt emailed in and said Stairway to Heaven and Hotel California.
I agree with that.
Good. Both good ones. Oh, it's good trivia. Who did Stairway to Heaven?
Ooh,
what was the name of that band?
It's like the Buggles. Or
didn't they do that one stupid regional?
Who was it?
Worst rejoin in the history of rejoins.
Different band. Different band. A couple other emails to get to. This one from Frank in Holliston says, Beetle, my son and his high school buddies are constantly reciting lines from Animal House and Caddyshack.
Nice.
0.0 chance you are correct. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, Beetle. That's from Frank in Holliston. That is exciting.
Well,
that is reassuring.
Sounds like those kids have been raised
and
right.
And that
right.
restores my faith in kids everywhere.
We have these two stupid
and in that
morons
generation,
here, like over here. You two. Yeah, you two. Raised differently.
I would also say that you've done a good job raising those children, Frank, and they're probably the exception to the rule.
I told you. Made my kid watch Animal House before she went to college. Like, that's part of the college. Yeah, to Toga.
Toga parties, those still happen?
Yes. Him and UMass, huh?
Toga parties?
Yeah. Like they do for the hell of it. And they have foam ones. They have good stuff.
Foam parties, sure.
We got to get out there for a game, buddy. We'll have to go to the game. But
don't actually have to.
Yeah, no, we'll just go to the parking lot and then
maybe we could watch
noontime it. Hits and you leave.
We can watch it from the AD suite.
Also, this from Andrew earlier. We were going to read this earlier. We didn't get to it. He says, boys, here you're talking about who made the decision to cut Brown. Take a look at the Instagram. It's very simple. The day he gets cut, Antonio Brown posts a pic of him and Belichick saying, appreciate ya. And one of Brady saying, love you, champ. That was fun. And then he gives his opinion. He says, Belichick told Brown, look, I don't want to do this. It's coming from up top. No question about it. As you've been saying for days, ownership was out, but football was 100% in, 1,000% in, 1,000,000% in. Thanks as always. Ringo in Washington, D.C., listening today on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Ooh, we'll be down there next week.
There you go. You okay, Jim?
All right, Jim.
Everything all right back there?
No, complete mess up.
Picking dumber songs, Jim?
Follow the Instagram trail.
Email of the day.
There she is.
Jeff in Santa Fe today. Hello, Jeff.
Fancy.
Hey, guys. You guys rock. I needed you. I had open heart surgery a couple weeks ago. You guys are making me laugh too hard. Tony La Russa, what the hell does he do to the Sox? Or what are we paying him for?
You know, that's a good question, too. The whole La Russa.
I'll tell you why. Jeff, it's funny. I was talking about this off the air with Jim, yesterday? We were talking about this. I think his role is, and will be going forward, someone to sort of keep tabs on the manager because they don't have anybody who's established enough in their front office who's sort of got the track record and resume to be the boss of a manager, an on-field guy, and be able to give him advice or give him criticism and have it carry some weight.
What kind of grade would you give him?
I have no idea. I have no idea how to grade him, but...
Well, how would you grade Cora this year?
I mean, what does it matter? I mean, it's not like he's taking up a job that somebody else would get. It's just he's like an additional advisor they just add on because he's available, you know?
Yeah.
Are you still allowed to have Huevos Rancheros at the Plaza Cafe there in Santa Fe after your open heart surgery?
You guys should come up for Balloon Fiesta, man.
Oh.
Is this like Santa Fe, California?
No, Santa Fe, New Mexico.
No,
I'm in San Jose.
Yeah. I'm in the hotel business. I got moved out here, and I never want to go back.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
All right, Jeff. Good. We'll heal up.
Good luck,
good to
buddy.
Hear from you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Jeff. Pal.
Some good eating there in Santa Fe. Oof.
Did it say Santa Fe? Doesn't sound like that'd be California. City.
Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Didn't you know what's crazy?
Didn't you have to learn the cap? Didn't you have to learn the capitals of the states?
Honest to God,
Hardy, doesn't it sound like it should be in California?
My kid had this geography thing.
In your defense, it does.
I've been helping a little bit with his homework. He's like geography. And oh, I am learning so much stuff now.
I'm like, what grade is he in?
Son of a bitch! How many oceans we have? Like, oh, which one? Like, do you know how many? Do you know how many? Never mind.
What grade is he in?
He's in fifth.
Fifth. Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
No.
I got my daughter's in fifth too. I'm doing fifth grade homework.
And I'm like, there's that many hemispheres. Wow. Northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere. There's actually one and there's the Antarctic sphere.
Yep, Antarctic sphere. Yes.
And I'm like, this is hard for these kids.
Yeah. I mean, but you've got it.
Of course. Antarctic mountain sphere. Ranges. I don't know how many mountain ranges we had. You know?
I mean,
then you got to know which continent each mountain range is in. Well, it's not hard, not easy.
What continent are we in?
We are in North America.
Mm-hmm. How many states are there?
50.
Wow.
Learned that yesterday.
All right.
Because there are also territories. That's the confusing part. Do you know how many are east of the Mississippi?
How many states are east of
The Mississippi?
I will say
26.
Probably
26. Say what again? I got all these random stats coming in. Like, some good stuff.
Oh, man. Brian and Braintree on One Hit Wonders.
Hey, guys. Here's a band from Canada. Name is Saga. The one hit was On the Loose. It's from the Worlds Apart LP, about 1981.
Okay, Saga.
It's a great song. You guys know it. And the second song in that album is called Wind 'Em. It's a great video. You think it's about cocaine use, but it's really about casino and gambling addiction.
Mm. Oh, wow. No kidding.
That does sound
Check fun. It out, guys.
That sounds like a second hit. That sounds like
I know all this stuff.
It sounds like a couple of hits.
Well, I mean, the guy that had Elton John nailed that one.
Bernie. Bernie wrote all those songs.
Bernie.
Yeah.
And this guy is Saga, huh?
Elton John just plinky, plinky, plonka.
Anybody can play the piano.
Yeah.
Anybody can play the piano.
In takeaways today, we are flashing back to 2012 on Felger and Maz.
Oh.
We're doing this?
Oh, yes.
We're doing it.
Excellent.
We'll do it next. You don't want to miss it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's sweet.
All right, time for today's takeaways, brought to you by Waco 180 Weight Loss. They encourage you to not give up on losing weight. Set up your consultation and learn how easy losing weight can actually be. You tell me it was buy one, get one free at Dunkin' Donuts today? I didn't know that. Jim, did you just tweet that out from our account?
September 29th.
Not
National
today.
Coffee Day.
National Coffee Day.
Reminder, that's coming up.
Okay.
Sunday. BOGO. They call
BOGO.
BOGO.
BOGO on Coffee Day.
Buy one, get one.
Hey, good news, by the way, on the MBTA today.
I don't care. I'm right, Trey.
Full service now restored to pre-derailment levels. How about that? How many months did that take them, T-Bone? I just saw your tweet, you retweeting them. More functional than Jarrett Stidham. More functional than a shuttle bus. The red line. To the takeaways we go. Hardy went 0 to 60 real quick today on Tim and Quincy.
We're talking about
what Brady said and how do we feel about what he said and do we
yeah that is sports
what
yeah
said.
That is sports
what
is, talk.
Yeah, that's what sports talk radio is.
What's man gossip?
No, you could actually talk about the sports or the games or the 3-0.
Okay,
or the,
what do you think? How do you think Buffalo's
talk about the Jets? Let's have a long conversation about the game against the Jets. You have a lot of thoughts. Did you have a lot of thoughts while the game was going on? Because I tell you what, the people who were actually at the game, they didn't think too much of it. They actually got up and left. They were doing others. What? Okay, you said you wanted to talk about the game. Talk about the game. What do you have to say about the game?
On sports talk, aren't you supposed to talk about
no, you. You said you wanted to talk about the game.
You've got the forum.
So you talk about this this Sunday in Buffalo. Go.
We're handing it over to you.
All right, Patriots 3-0. All right. What
good show.
Are they going to? What?
No, talk about the game.
Like a good show.
Shut up. Let him talk about the game.
3-0.
Go.
What type of offense are they going to try and attack the Patriots with? What kind of setup? Remember when you guys are Felder and Mazzified your show. Remember when you guys used to talk about the sports? Oh, 2 years ago? I mean, what happened?
Well, what kind of offense do you think they're going to use?
I don't know. You nobody's told me.
Wait for you to tell me what to think.
We have Felger and Mazzified the show. That's what he said.
I take that as a compliment.
High praise. I'll take it.
That's praiseworthy.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. There's that. There's also this. Speaking of Felger and Maz, Sean in Providence. Oh, the Sean in Providence from all the way back in 2012 called us today. Right. Sean, what else did you have before we get to this?
Yeah, something nostalgic.
All right, Peter, I have a nostalgia thing because this was back in your early days and I called before. Do you remember somebody that called and was in the middle of a fight with his wife at the time?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's me. And I just want to tell you that thing is still up on YouTube and not from me, and that you gave me props for, despite the fact that I was going through that crap with my woman, that I still had the time to call up about Brady versus Luck.
You still have the take.
Props.
You still delivered the take.
Still had a take.
It's unbelievable.
Now, did he just say that thing was a bit of an issue, but not for me?
I don't know what he said.
Is that what he said?
No.
He called us earlier today?
No.
He didn't say that.
I hear nothing.
Because I know what you're planning on doing.
We're going to play it. Jim, cue it up.
This is from 2012.
2012. Fire away. God.
We'll lead it off with Sean in Providence on
this
Patriots
week,
Colts.
I don't care.
Sean.
I didn't sleep with my boss. You want to see me get drunk? Watch this, bitch. Go. I don't care. Bye.
Hey, Sean. Sean.
Sean.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
I guess not that great.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Women are like train cars. You know, they just come and go. Just wait for the next one. What's the big deal?
Yeah, well, this one's my wife, so not really.
Oh, that's, look, I was married once, too. It didn't work out. Sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Sometimes the boss is bigger than your husband is. Whatever. Anyways, so I was calling because, one, I agreed with you guys about the Andrew Luck thing. I think it's way too early to tell for him, but I would take the potential 15 years over the next 3 or 4 with Brady. And, two, Beadle is better than any of the other side guys that you have on this radio station. And I give him my ring endorsement, and I try to be more creative, but I'm a little pissed right now, so I'm going to go. Bye.
Hey, Sean, take care, all right? Cool down. I didn't even know there was some Beatle love in there at the end.
Oh God,
yeah, that's right. Not in the YouTube version.
Well, at least I didn't sleep with my boss.
But
you want to see me get drunk? Watch this.
He delivered the take.
I like that.
And his take was that he'd take Luck over Brady. We won't hold that against him. But, oh, man, wow. He delivered the take. He still came through with the take. After all that, he didn't hang up. He hung through it. Stayed tough. That is perseverance right there. That is talk radio perseverance. Tim and Quincy could learn something from Sean in Providence right there. That's how you hang in there. That's how you hang in the pocket. That's how you step up and avoid the defender and deliver the take. That's how you do it.
Yeah, and honey, meet my new friend Jack.
Yeah, and props to Felger.
His wife is sleeping with the boss, and he's like, no, I got to get through. I got to get through and tell you I'd take Luck over Brady.
Props to Felger for boosting him up, too.
It's important that I do this.
Because, Felger was the first one to chime in and say, you know what?
Let her go.
Marriage is, my first one didn't take. No big whoop. If Wallach were here, he would have said the same thing. It didn't work out for me first time around. Sometimes it doesn't.
Well, his heart was in the right place, wasn't it?
I'm telling you, yes. The guy's on the other end of the phone, probably not feeling that great. It's like, hey, worst comes to worst, I could end up being Felger.
He'll get through it. And things have turned out okay for him. He said things are going okay now. Things are good now, he said.
Yeah, she ain't around.
So things are good.
That changed.
I'm glad to see me.
She waiting for the next train car.
Watch this.
that's an old timer. It's like Stu from The Hangover.
Oh my God. Oh. I just picture him.
You want to see something? Something tells me he got drunk before and she didn't like it. Now he's really going to show her how drunk he gets.
The best.
Oh, man.
The best.
Oh, God.
Felger Mads are coming your way next. Hopefully they don't have too much man gossip on their show.
Yeah, I know. Stick to sports. It's
been a big complaint around here. Too much man gossip. Bring the man gossip. We'll be back tomorrow at 10. Catch you then. Any final thoughts there, Zoe? Where's Santa Fe?
New Mexico.
New Mexico. Don't forget it. Bye. Have a great day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston or out of town, Boston's Home for Sports is on your phone. Listen live or download an original podcast. 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's an app.
Felger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect.
Felger and Maz. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger Maserati on a Wednesday, September 2nd.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.